Vasily Petrenko. The second symphony, October, was written to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the October Revolution. And I suppose it's an early example of what the Soviets like to call social realism. The opening of this symphony is fascinating, isn't it, with all those divided strings? It's just really fascinating.
I think it's one of the biggest challenges to record. I think the story of the piece has been commissioned by this Department of Enlightenment, as it's called in the Soviet Union. They did a lot of good things, to be honest. I mean, they really brought the classical music to the broad masses of the musicians and broad masses of the workers. And I think, actually, the flourish of the music in the 40s and 50s, particularly classical music, it very much belongs to that time when they just introduced it. Because there have been plenty of... Actually, the orchestras by then, they played much more in the fabrics and in the factories and in all kind of industrial surrounding rather than in the philharmonic halls.
Mm.
And that's what they tried to bring. And they've been quite clever, actually. They've balanced the repertoire. So it's never been just, you know, Second Symphony of Shostakovich and nothing else.
Mm.
Or, you know, Second Symphony of Shostakovich and Eighth Symphony by Bruckner, for instance. There have always been some romance, little songs around it. The choral piece, because the choral tradition is huge. And some light music in it.
There's even a factory whistle in this piece, which is a bit of real social realism, isn't it?
That's what he tried. So the piece has been commissioned... And it seems to me that due to his life by then, he felt, I think, first time he got the recognition after the First Symphony, he felt quite famous, and he'd been young. So I wouldn't say he'd been kind of party guy, but he really tried to get all the best from life. And the situation in Petrograd by then been improving, slowly but surely. And the people felt this, you know, new sunrise of the communism and everything, and they've been absolutely sure about their future. So he been shortened of time to write the symphony, because I think it seems to me that he got to the point almost in the very last moment. There's been a deadline and it's been just before that. That's why I think the... so many complexes, because it's in his symphonies, usually in his manner of composing, it's all been settling down his mind first, and then it's been put on the paper, on the note and stance. While in this symphony it looks like he had written it first and then he tried to settle the things, but it's been already too late. He never had this kind of laboratory process, and also he'd been struggling with the words in the last, because to be honest, the poetry there is really poster.
Yeah.
Poetry is just about lozenges everywhere.
Yes.
You know, here and there, Lenin, Lenin, Lenin.
Yeah. Sloganism.
Slogans, yeah. And all these kind of things. But it's very difficult to put it in the music.
Yeah.
That's why it's melodiclamatic in it, and the chorus, and most of the time, just shouting,
yeah,
rather than having some melodies.
Do you think he was still an idealistic young man then, or do you think he was starting to realize that all was not well in the system?
I don't know. It seems to me that he just tried to find his way.
Hmm.
He just tried to find his own language in the symphony,
hmm,
in the second and then later in the third. And was he idealistic? Don't think so. It's not such a... just celebrating symphony. There are some depth in it, of course. And I think it's been just a little bit better time for the country by then. And that's what I'm reflecting in his music.
Mm. Now, we jump cut now to the very end of his life, well, 4 years before his death. He was 64, the 15th Symphony, which has presented more enigmas than almost any other piece he wrote, and everybody has their own view. First of all, the quotes and coded messages are profuse in this symphony. Do you think he knew that this was going to be his last symphony, or is that something we impose upon it from the benefit, with the benefit of hindsight?
He probably knew. I think he probably knew about it. He had a last hope to go to America and to ask doctors there to help him with his disease. And the most tragic that it's been this slow dying process which nobody could stop by then. I don't know, but now they are they able to cure these things or not. But it's been written just about a year before this trip while he came to America, and American doctors approved that, sorry, there are no cure exists so far. Here, he admitted the symphony as a night in a toy shop.
Yeah, because right from the beginning it's different, isn't it?
For his friends and for his families. I think, in my point of view, he just tried to give his best to the families. You know, he would say that, you know, I'm dying and that's the last symphony. What's the moral will be? He tried to give the good moral for his children, for his last life and for all the people around him. And he also declared, I know a lot of people who knew him by then in St. Petersburg, they're still alive. And they say that, like never in his life, he tried to bring optimism to everyone. But it seems to me that it's because he would like everyone to remember him with a good feeling of the optimist gasp. The thing which I've been curious about, while it's a Wilhelm Tell.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's a symbol of the Grim Reaper, clearly, but...
Really, not just a flippant, you know, we all play games when we're humming a tune that turns into another tune, and is it not just a little game, flippant game he was playing?
No,
you think it means
more? He used it not once, you know, if you go to the Sixth Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
Is there already in the finale.
Yeah.
And in the sixth, I think, as in the 15, he felt, because the piece been overplayed, really overplayed, and it becomes a pop piece. And for him, I mean, it's beautiful Rossini stuff, of course. But because of the overplaying, for him it's been kind of the death of the classical music.
Okay.
It's like, you just vanish all the legacies of composition by repeating this tagadam, 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 all the way through. Afraid of the physical death. He'd been always afraid of the neglection. And I think for me it's a symbol of neglection. It's a symbol of the time, the sense of the time, which consumes his works, which consumes everything. And that's why it's so sad.
So how do you explain the quotes of the fate motif from Wagner's Ring? And even more, telling, I think, is the first three notes of the Tristan prelude before you arrive at the Tristan chord, which he then turns into a little joke.
Yeah, well...
How do you explain that? That is kind of a mixture of death and laughter.
That's a puzzle, of course, as usual. The interesting story about him that he had really a lot of love in himself, which he not always been able to expose. And the love stories, not often they've been finishing in bed with him. Quite most of them actually have been just a platonic, while he found the muses in his life. And by the end, he'd been so grateful to his last wife. She really been a wonderful, wonderful person, I think. She took care about him, especially after this middle Komsomol wife story on whom he's been married just for a few months. I think it's part of contribution to her, you know, regarding the Tristan and his older story, in a way. As well, because he haven't evaluated her first. No, they had a conflict first, and then they became to fell in love, and then they became a family, and then they live forever. It's of course entirely different from the Wagner story.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they're quite similar ways of histories. First of all, secondary, I think. The chord itself, it's about resolution of his life which he haven't found. The resolution of his internal conflict between what is his idyllic world in his mind, in his music, and what he has seen around him. It's, for instance, when the Rostropovich left Russia, and they've been very close friends, and when they came with Galina to announce Shostakovich that the living country, he said to them, "You're the last persons who live, and I'll die here alone." So he really felt very tragic about the surrounding. He had this family, he had this wife who'd been very supportive, but who clearly just couldn't understand what is the history of his life, what is the world in which he's been suffering and glorifying and just living. And that's why this non-resolved world in his mind and his heritage.
Non-resolved in the same way that Wagner didn't resolve either.
Absolutely.
But...
well, Wagner been, I think, much more direct
in
his wish and his stuffs, rather than Shostakovich, who once again is about introversion. I think Wagner have been much more extroverted person.
One of the last things, almost the last thing we hear in this symphony is this strange ticking percussion, which we first heard in the fourth symphony at the end of the scherzo, and again in the second cello concerto, and it's clearly significant, and I wonder, I don't know what your view is, whether this was kind of a last laugh, that it was the end of his final symphony was hearkening back to a piece that he had to withdraw.
It is from one point of view. From other point of view, it's what I've said about this hospital treatment. It's like the pulse and the ticking just slowly.
On the monitor.
Yeah, on the monitor. No, and it just slowly stops and the person has gone. In a way, it's a peaceful ending.
It is. You're the first person who's described it like that to me, because I've asked several people what they make of it. And it is a peaceful ending. You get that high string hall, but also the Glockenspiel.
From one point of view, it seems to me that the person agreed that that's the time to go. And it's just the life which is expressed. It's a little bit the same as Prokofiev 7 by the end. Especially in the circumstances of Prokofiev, who'd been writing the whole symphony hospital, just 20 minutes a day. But Prokofiev 7, the much more, I would say, enlightened and transfigurated. So his spirit is already there somewhere after life. While in the Shostakovich 15th, there are much more earthy things. So he's still alive, he's still on earth. With all his heritage, with all doubts about what's
still defiance, isn't there? There's a lot of fight.
In the middle. But this ending gives us the feeling that that's time, and gives him the feeling, I think, that that's time.